So praise God, he has something to say, and he's looking for someone who's going to be obedient to him. And so he just wants to speak through you. You're the vessel, and he wants to pour his words out through you. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and it is not of ourselves, but it is of Christ. And since we are in Christ, we are new creations. And behold, old things have become new. All things have been recreated in our spirit. We are new. We are brand new. We are not the person that we were. We are not the unregenerated man who was knee-deep in sin. We are new creations. We are brand new. We are a species of being that have never existed before. So, we think different. We talk different. We act different. And it doesn't necessarily happen right after we get born again, because the old man has a recollection of the things that happened in his life, and he has memories, and he has maybe some damaged emotions, and maybe he has some things that happened in that time when he was not regenerated, not a new creation, not born again, not in Christ. And he had some things that happened that were not beneficial to his soul, okay? The soul includes your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect. And so the things that you did before you were recreated, regenerated, born again, a new creation, affected your mind, your body, maybe if you drank or took drugs. Your body may have been affected. Physically, you may have been affected by the lifestyle that you were in. And so, so when we become new creations and become born again, and we have this enlightenment experience where Jesus comes into our hearts, and we know that we are new creations, we know something has happened to us, we had an experience with Jesus, and we can say, you know, Jesus came into my heart. He changed my heart, and now the desires that I used to have, I do not have anymore. In fact, I do not want to drink. I do not want to smoke. I don't want to do any of that stuff. However, what can happen is that when we get around some of our old friends, our old family, you know, family members or things like that, they remind us, of course, of who we were. And, you know, a lot of them are still locked in that lifestyle, especially if they're not new creations, especially if they do not know who they are in Christ, if they are not born again. And they will continue in that lifestyle until they have that salvation experience, until they see that Jesus Christ is Lord over their life, until they accept him and make him Lord over their life. They're going to have issues, and they're going to still deal with those same issues. And a lot of times what happens is, if we do not get out of that environment, oh, it looked like something was jumping in front of the car. If we do not get out of that environment, they will get us to the place where if our mind is not renewed, and of course it isn't, because we just got born again. This is for someone who was just received Jesus, who just got born again, who just became a new creation. Your spirit man is new. It is born again. It is brand new. This is a clean slate. It's a clean slate, okay? You are starting fresh. You have Jesus. He is the foundation. He is the firm foundation on which you stand. However, you have people around you, you have your friends, you have your family that are saying, well, hey, man, come on, let's go over here. Yeah, yeah, remember the days when we had so much fun at the bar? Come on, let's go to the bar. And until you get away from those people, you're going to continue to try to go back to that old man. Because you see, your recollection, your identity is more... you can relate more with that man at that point when you become saved and born again. At that point, you can relate more with the old man, especially if you have your old friends. And that's what we see a lot of times with brand new believers, people who just received Jesus, just received the new birth, just received salvation. We see them going back into a lifestyle of sin. And we say, well, you know, if he was born again, why is he sinning? Okay, his mind is not at the place where it needs to be because he has not been mentored. He has not been taught. He has not been discipled. He does not know who he is in Christ. Yes, he is a new creation. Yes, his spirit is new. Yes, he is born again. However, his mind, his emotions, his will, his friends, his family are telling him who he used to be, and he is reminded of who he used to be with these people, and that recollection comes to his memory, and he is more familiar with the old man than he is with who he is right now. And so until you begin to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, get around believers, get around people that are going to edify you, get around people that are going to build you up, get around people that are going to exhort this gift, the giftings that are in you, and begin to pull them out of you, and you begin to see who you really are in Christ, that you're not a product of your past. You are not the person that you used to be. You are dead in Christ. You are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new, and you are new. And so you have to start thinking. You have to start believing that what the Word of God says about you is real. It is more real than what anyone else, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your pastor, your grandpa says about you or said about you, okay? What Jesus said, what God said is that in Christ, you can do all things through Christ, who gives you strength. In Christ, you are redeemed. In Christ, you're forgiven. In Christ, you are saved. In Christ, you are healed in Jesus' name. In Christ, you are free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it is the spirit man who wants to live and have its being on the inside of you and begin to nurture your soul, your mind. And until your spirit absolutely penetrates the Spirit of God in you, that is the Holy Spirit, and He penetrates your being. He saturates you. He saturates you with truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It is the Spirit of counsel. It is the Spirit of revelation. It is the Spirit of wisdom. It is the Spirit of understanding. It is the Spirit revelation. The Holy Spirit is your guide. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads you and guides you into all truth. And so you listen to Him. What happens is when we get around people that we used to know, unbelievers, friends, family, we get around them and they tell us, you know, who we are and who we were. And we're constantly being reminded. We're constantly being tormented by the enemy. You're not saved. You're not, look at you, you know, look what you did. Look who you did it with, you know. Look at these people around you. Don't you remember, you know, that you did all this and, you know, and you're really not dead. And, you know, Jesus, what do you mean Jesus? You know, I haven't seen him do anything for you. And so you're kind of in a transition to where, you know, you're like, okay, so God, I know you're living on the inside of me. I know that you're greater than anything that could come against me. However, my mind, my will, my emotions are still being pulled in all kinds of directions. And until you allow the Spirit of God in you to direct you, to move you, to not let you be swayed by what you see or hear around you, you have to be so anchored, you have to be so anchored in the Word of God. Do you understand me? The Word of God is your anchor. Do you understand? Okay, so that means when you first get born again, you don't know everything there is to know, okay? In your mind, your spirit knows all things. Your spirit has recollection of things that haven't even happened yet. Your spirit knows the end from the beginning. Your spirit is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Jesus in you is greater than any other spirit that would come to try to disable you, dismantle you, render you ineffective for the kingdom. And so I'm not saying that it won't try to come. I'm not saying that things will not try to come. I'm not saying that there won't be hindrances. I'm not saying that your mind, there will be things that will try to come against you. But once you get anchored in the Word of God and realize who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, what the Word of God says about you, you are victorious in Jesus, okay? You are not going to be victorious. You are victorious. You're not going to be healed. You are healed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are healed. Jesus healed you, okay? This has already happened. Jesus died for your sins, and before he even died for your sins, he died for your sickness, your disease, your infirmity. He bore it on the cross. He bore your shame. He bore your guilt. He bore your transgressions. And you do not carry the burden of that sin. You do not carry the burden of that sickness. Jesus, how dare you say that you are carrying this burden, that this is a burden that you're carrying for Jesus? Oh my gosh, what an atrocity to what Jesus has done on the cross. We have made him we have made Jesus into somebody that he's not. We've turned what he's done into something so insignificant. And we just lay it aside as though it were nothing. And we make statements like, oh, all for Jesus, and I'm bearing this for Jesus. Let me tell you something. For you to say that, and for you, let's give an example about forgiveness of sin. For a long time, I held unforgiveness even for myself, for a sin that I had committed. And and it was almost as if God was saying, you know, how dare you? You know, who do you think you're of higher standing than I am? I have forgiven you. Your sins are as far from the east. I have carried them away. They are gone. They are washed in my blood. You are free. You are forgiven. The day you got born again and the day you said, God, forgive me for my sins. I repent. I turn from that sin. I turn from that wicked nature. I turn from that person that I was. and I now I'm a new creation. He said the minute that you said that, the minute you were translated, you were literally translated from a kingdom of darkness, and I hate to say kingdom because it's not a kingdom. It's a spirit world. It's a demon-possessed world that we have absolute authority and victory over because we are in Christ and Jesus has the victory. We have the victory in Jesus. Jesus won the victory for us over 2,100 years ago. And so we thank Him every day. We thank Him for the victory. We thank Him that we are in Him. We thank Him that we do not come out of Him. We thank Him that we live in the Spirit. We are not moved by the things of the world, things of the flesh, things that people try to throw at us and get us to move off into the carnal realm. See, the carnal realm is where the enemy operates, and the carnal realm is where he wants to totally take possession of your soul and your mind and your will and your intellect. But you've got to rise up to a new place in the name of Jesus. You've got to say no in Jesus' name. I am more than just what I see. I just don't. I'm not going to fall for this trap anymore. When people throw things at you and when people spit at you and when people mock you for the sake of Jesus, you bear it. You bear it. Like a soldier, like a good soldier. And you say, greater is He that is in me than that thing that you are operating in. And I bless you in Jesus' name. I speak life to you and that your eyes would be enlightened to this glorious gospel. And let me tell you, there is a persecution that we have not yet seen in the body of Christ. There is a persecution to them who are on fire, to them who see the things of God, to them who are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But let me tell you, there's something else that's going to happen. The people, the Christians that are walking in the flesh are going to be devoured. I'm telling you, they're going to be devoured by the enemy. You have to rise up. You have to rise up in the Spirit. You have to destroy the works of the flesh. You have to break covenant with the demonic principalities that have been speaking to you. I don't know if it's physical. I don't know if it's mental. I don't know what it is. You know, you can have a thought that contradicts the Word of God, and the Bible clearly says to take captive every thought into the obedience of Christ. You know, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is absolute freedom, is absolute victory, is absolute wisdom, is absolute favor, is absolute yes and amen. And He is not a man that He should lie. And He says yes and amen to His promises. And when you speak like an oracle of Jesus, you are the oracle of the Most High God. Because when Jesus came to this earth, He became the oracle of the Most High God, and He absolutely knew what He was talking about, and He was 100% sure of what He was talking about, and He was not defeated. He was not broke down. He was not discouraged. He was not dismayed, because He said when He spoke, He knew that His Father heard Him. When He spoke, He knew that His Father was with Him, and He knew that He spoke from the oracles of heaven, and He knew who He was, and He knew whose He was, and He knew His Father, and Him and His Father were in constant communion. And I'm telling you, when you live by the Spirit, you are in constant communion with the Father, with the King of Kings, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. I used to think that the Trinity was the most, interesting, well, not interesting. I used to think that the Trinity was one of the most mysterious things. Because, you know, when you think about the Trinity, you think, okay, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God. They're one, yet they're three. Because, let me tell you, they are three separate individuals. I've had encounters with God. I've had an encounter with Jesus. And I've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me. That means, okay, if they're three and they're one, but they're separate, but yet they're one, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God are one in you, but they're separate. When they speak, they speak the same message, but they're speaking it differently when it comes through you. And so the Bible says that Jesus, in order for us to get to the Father, we have to go through Jesus. So Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And so so we go through Jesus, the mediator, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Okay, that is how, because we're humans, you know, God had to send a man, okay, because he made men in his image. And so man broke covenant, Adam and Eve, they broke covenant with God when they disobeyed, and they ate from the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so God said, do not eat of this tree, because when you do, surely you will die. And so the serpent came and deceived Eve. And really, Adam was given dominion over the garden. And so he was actually given dominion over the earth, over everything. All the plants, herbs, trees, fish, anything that was there. He was the highest form of being at that time, besides God. He was one with God. They were equal. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were equal, okay, in position, because God gave them dominion. So, and he created them. He fashioned them. He formed them. He formed you. He fashioned you. Even before he knew you, he fashioned you. He formed you. He created you in your mother's belly, in your mother's womb. Wow! Even before he knew you, he created you. He fashioned you. He formed you in your mother's womb. My God, I'm telling you, there's destiny on the inside of you. There is no other person living on this planet, on this universe, that shares the same blueprint as you, that shares the same DNA as you do. Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Do you know who you are? Do you know whose you are? We see so many cookie cutter Christians. We see so many cookie cutter people. And we see so many people that are trying to be like other people. And we see so many lookalikes. And, you know, once, you know, a certain fashion comes in, or a hairstyle comes in, or, you know, makeup comes in, or whatever it is, you see all the women, all the men leaning towards that new look. And you see, and then it's like, gosh, everybody looks the same. I guess I need to, you know, start wearing my hair like that. And there's so much peer pressure, and there's so much, and really it's evil, because what it says is, okay, you're not good enough the way you are. You know, what God created and what he made and this image, He fashioned you. He formed you in your mother's womb. There's such an image. There's such an image distortion in the body of Christ. Even we see it in the world, but gosh, we see it in the body of Christ. It is a sad atrocity to see this in the body of Christ. And so many people getting plastic surgery, and so many people getting this and that and this and that, and, you know, doing all the new, latest, greatest things that, you know, there are to do, and they don't love themselves. And there's so much more, you know, you could get into. But anyway, it's really, really sad, because once God shows you, wow, I am a new creation. Wow, I was created in the image and likeness of God. Wow, He loves me just the way I look, just the way I am. He fashioned me. Wow, His hand was upon me even before I was formed in my mother's belly. He knew me. Wow, He said, Maria, you are a great creation. I have created you. I know the plans that I have for you. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans to give you peace. I have plans for your future, and they are good plans. They are plans that you could only dream about. And He said, I have fashioned you. I have formed you. And I love you with this everlasting love. There is no greater love a man has than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And so He loved us enough. He loved us enough to redeem us. To redeem us, because we had fallen. And Adam, excuse me, Adam, oh, how grievous it must have been to God to lose fellowship with the man that He created in His image, with the man that He had given dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature and everything that crawled, and everything on the earth. And He had given us dominion, and we had broken fellowship, and we lost that. We lost it. And sin came into the earth, and death came into the earth, and pain came into the earth, and we had to work for what we had by the sweat of our brow. And God said, I'm sending Jesus, I'm sending my Son, and I'm going to restore humanity to the position that I had originally placed for it to be, in a position of dominion and authority and power, just like Jesus has, and just like God has, and to rule and reign over the universe, over the earth, over the fish, and over the sea. And to give it dominion over everything, sickness and everything that the enemy has tried to place upon man ever since the fall of man. And I have given and restored it back. And Jesus died not only for your sin, but for your sickness and for your disease. And He has restored your fellowship with God. And He has restored your communion with God. And He has restored your health. And He has restored your finances. And He has restored your vision. And so, Jesus, do we even know? And when we say, oh God, you know, I'm going through this, or I'm going through that, and it's all for you, Jesus. No, He said, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall be sick for the rest of their life. That is a lie from the pit of eternal hell. And the enemy has caused believers to believe a lie about God and his character. And it is never God's character that He put disease or infirmity on man. He put disease and infirmity on Jesus. And He bore that sickness, and he bore that sin. And when he seen you in a complete, in the worst state of sin that you were ever in your life, and he seen you born again at the same time, he seen you saved in Christ, he seen when you would come to Jesus, but yet he seen you in your sin, and he said, I'm dying for you, Maria. I am dying for your sickness. I am dying for your sin. I am dying for your disease. You do not have to carry that burden. I am carrying that burden for you. And so when he suffered those, he bore those stripes on his back. We don't even know how many stripes on his back he really bore, but he bore stripes on his back, and he was bruised and beaten and scourged, and they couldn't even notice who he was. And only one of his apostles, the disciples, went with him to the cross, and Mary Magdalene and his mother were the only ones that could bear the scene, the atrocity, the monstrosity of the wickedness that those that would crucify him had towards him. And he had done nothing. He had done nothing. He had done nothing wrong. And they crucified the King of Kings. And they said, if you are who you say you are, why don't you save yourself? But he wasn't born to live. He was born to die. He was born to die. He was born to die. He said, you don't take my life. I lay it down. And he bore the burdens of man and humanity and sickness and disease, and he bore it on his body. Don't you dare make a mockery of what Jesus has done and say that your sickness is helping you bear your cross, and you're bearing your cross of sickness because he bore that cross for you so that you wouldn't bear it ever again.